everyone. I am 5 motherfucking episodes away from season 2, and these are my wolf brothers.
I wish I was a paddleboarder. We were just talking about that. I wish I was living Justin's life, because apparently he gets to paddleboard and fish off his paddleboard every day. Wow.
That's what I do after work.
Dang. Must be nice.
It's pretty nice.
I didn't realize. I've only been to Justin's house once really late at night, and I didn't really know what was around there. So
it's great. I have like a lake that's 2 minutes from me that's crowded as fuck all the time. And then I have another one that's 2 minutes the other way up my road that no one's fucking ever at. It's
great. And that's the one you go to?
Always. No one will ever tell where it's at.
Are they reservoirs or just?
They're just little lakes, because this is the Seven Lakes area, and I think there's like fucking 50 little lakes. So
there's water everywhere. It's Washington.
Yeah.
Throw a rock, it will land in water.
Most likely, yeah. Or a puddle at least. Oh, sorry. I will be your Snow as a Lie Sedai today.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. The cat's out of the bag. We are going to listen to...
Don't eat the yellow Sedai Snow.
That's even it. Jeremy, where are you? Re-record. Jeremy, your other one sucked.
Ready? Yeah. Hold on. Ready?
And
I will be your yellow Sedai... Wait. Damn it.
Don't eat the...
Ready? Here we go.
Come on.
I will be your don't eat the yellow Sedai Snow. What? Damn. Oh
my. Wow.
Okay. I've already clapped like 3 times.
Your comedic timing is balls.
I will be your don't eat the yellow Snow Sedai.
Yes, you got it.
Bingo. Is there a yellow?
Please leave all that in.
Oh yeah. It's all. I'm getting towards the end of this. All I can think about is season 2. I'm not editing this at all.
Oh yeah, never.
Everything's just going in. All the long pauses and everything.
Make sure a little bit.
No. Is there a yellow Sedai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they?
Healers.
Yeah, they're the healers.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I love that journey for them.
Green are the battle Sedai.
Battle Sedai.
And the horny Sedais.
Hey, you know what? While we're getting ready for season 2, let's refresh Desmond.
Yeah. What are the blue Sedai?
Who is everyone?
The blue Aja.
They're the sexy ones.
Yep, that's right.
Nope.
Yeah, and then
Master
what's the
of
white?
Secrets.
What's the white?
White are the virgin Sedais.
Yep, that's right. Okay, keep going. What is...
This one's going to be easy to edit, because I'm just going to throw it in the trash.
Cut it all out.
Hey, I'm done.
It's a 6-minute episode.
Hey, no episode this week, guys. No episode this week because my podcast partner.
Why is this episode just 5 minutes of Jeremy trying to say he's the yellow Aes Sedai guy?
Don't eat the yellow Aes Sedai snows. Oh my God. I was so tired before we even started this podcast. And I was like, I don't want to do a podcast today. I'm so tired. And then we start going, and I was like,
you know, it's funny. I could read that all over your face when you sat down. I'm like, oh, I better bring some energy, because he's not got it.
I was not into it. And then all of a sudden, like, here we are an hour in, and I'm like, let's keep going. Let's do 2 more.
Let's roll. Let's go. I'm just getting in the groove. Let's do it. I got up at fucking 5:30 this morning, bro. I'm ready.
I was up for an hour and a half by the time you got up.
Well, I sold drugs all day. What did you do?
I bought drugs all day, and that's what I did.
That's the biggest lie ever.
That is a big lie.
Fucking square as SpongeBob.
Oh.
So, the crew minus Rand is what, in Ilion right now? They just got to Ilion, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess minus Rand and Matt. Matt's not there either. Matt's in the tower still. We're getting ready to leave the tower, I guess. Just like
No. He's way out of it. No, this is...
Oh, yeah. He's met up with Tom.
Yeah, he's on the boat.
To Tyr as well.
Like I think he's already even off the boat from...
Everybody's headed to Tyr, basically.
Yeah. Everyone's all split up. So, yeah. So, they come into this inn, and like Perrin, we're seeing most of this through Perrin. We've been in a lot of the last couple chapters have been from Perrin's point of view, and
we've been inside of Perrin the last 3 chapters.
Yeah, and he's just like sick. He's sick of people staring at his yellow eyes. He's sick of people being surprised at Loial. He's tired of, you know, people kissing Moraine's ass, and he's just over it.
Easing the badger, it read. It must be some story I never heard. The common room had sawdust on the floor, and tobacco smoke filled the air. It also smelled of wine and fish cooking in the kitchen. This early in the evening, no more than a quarter of the stools and benches were filled. by men in workmen's plain coats and vests, some with the bare feet of sailors. All of them sat clustered as close as they could manage around one table, where a pretty dark-eyed girl, the wearer of the perfume, sang to the strumming of a 12-string bittern, and danced on the tabletop with swirls of her skirt. Her loose white blouse had an extremely low neck. Perrin recognized the tune, The Dancing Lass, but the words the girl sang were different from what he knew. She launched into another verse, and when Perrin realized what she was singing, his face grew hot. He had thought nothing could shock him after seeing Tinker Girls dance, but that had only hinted at things. This girl was singing them right out. Zareen was nodding in time to the music and grinning. Her grin widened when she looked at him. My fine boy, I did not think I ever knew a man your age who could still blush. He glared at her and barely stopped himself from saying something he knew would be stupid. This bloody woman has me jumping before I can think. Might I wager she thinks I never even kissed a girl. A flash of startlement had passed across the face of the proprietress when they entered. A large, round woman with her hair in a thick roll at the back of her neck and a smell of strong soap about her. She suppressed her surprise quickly, though, and hurried to Moraine. Mistress Mari, she said. I did never think to see you here today. She hesitated, eyeing Perrin and Zareen, glanced once at Loyal, but not in the searching way she looked at them. Have my pigeons not arrived safely? Lan, she seemed to accept as a part of Moraine. I am sure they have, Nida, Moraine said. I have been away, but I am sure Adina has noted down everything you reported. The badger was considerably quieter when last I was here. Aye, Mistress Mari, it did be that. But the louts have no gotten over the winter yet, it does seem. I have no had a fight in the badger in 10 years, till the tale of this winter gone. Strange that you should suffer fights, she said. I well remember how your nephew stops such. Has something occurred to make people more irritable? Nida mused for a moment. Perhaps. It'd be hard to say. The young lordlings do always come down to the docks for the wenching and carousing. They can no get away with where the air does smell fresher. Perhaps they do come here more often now, since the hard of the winter. And others do snap at each other more, too. It did be a hard winter. That does make men angrier, and women as well. Not so hard as the last winter, of course, but that did be a winter for 1,000 years. Almost enough to make me believe those travelers' tales of frozen water fallen from the sky. She giggled to show how little she believed that. It was an odd sound from such a large woman. Perrin shook his head. She doesn't believe in snow. But if she thought this weather was cool, he could believe it of her. What has occurred out of the ordinary in Ilion of late? Moraine said finally. I do suppose you could call Lord Bren's ascension to the Council of Nine unusual, Nida said. Fortune prick me. I can no remember ever hearing his name before the winter. But he did come to the city, from somewhere near the Mirandian border, it be rumored, and did be raised inside a week. It do be said he be a good man, and strongest of the Nine. They all do follow his lead, it be said, though he be newest and unknown. But sometimes I do have strange dreams of him. Moraine had opened her mouth to tell Nida she had meant in the last few nights, Perrin was sure. But she hesitated and instead said, What sort of strange dreams, Nida? Oh, foolishness, Mistress Mari. Just foolishness. You do truly wish to hear it. Dreams of Lord Brand in strange places and walking bridges hanging in air. All fog these dreams do be. But near every night they do come. Did you ever hear of such? Foolishness. Fortune prick me. Yet it do be odd. Billy does say he does dream the same dreams. I do think he does hear my dreams and copy them. Billy do be none too bright sometimes, I do think. You may do him an injustice, Moraine breathed. Perrin stared at her dark hood. She had sounded shaken, even more shaken than when she thought a new false dragon had risen in Giladon. He could not smell fear, but Moraine was frightened. It was a far more terrifying thought than Moraine angry. He could imagine her angry. He could not begin to conceive of her afraid.
So I think, yeah, you said this ends with a bang. Should I fast forward to the last five?
Just fast forward to the last 5 minutes, dude.
Yeah, because there's like 15 minutes left.
Yeah, no, just fast forward to the last 5 minutes and then we could talk about... I have notes that will kind of fill us in on shit, so...
But I literally think the next 10 minutes is them talking about the fish, so...
Yeah, and he's like stuffing his mouth full and like, at Fael like he's fucking eight.
Zareen, absently rolling a piece of white cheese into a ball, was eyeing first Perrin, then Moraine, then him again, while trying to pretend she was not. It was Lan and Moraine he was really interested in, though. They could sense a Murdrol or a Trolloc or any shadow spawn before it came closer than a few hundred paces, but the Aes Sedai was staring distantly at the table in front of her, and the warder was cutting a chunk of yellow cheese and watching her. Yet the smell of wrongness was there, as at Jara and the edge of Remen, and this time it was not going away. It seemed to be coming from something within the common room. He studied the room again. Billy leaned against the wall, some men crossing the floor, the girl singing on the table, all the laughing men sitting around her. Men crossing the floor? He frowned at them. 6 men with ordinary faces walking toward where he was sitting. Very ordinary faces. He was just starting to re-inspect the men, listening to the girl, when suddenly it came to him that the stink of wrongness was rolling from the 6. Abruptly, they had daggers in their hands, as if they had realized he had seen them. They have knives! He roared, and threw the cheese platter at them. The common room erupted into confusion, men shouting, the singer screaming, Nida shouting for Billy, everything happening at once. Lan leaped to his feet, and a ball of fire darted from Moraine's hand. And Loyal snatched up his chair like a club, and Zareen danced to one side, cursing. She had a knife in her hand, too, but Perrin was too busy to notice much of what anyone else did. Those men seemed to be looking straight at him, and his axe was hanging from a peg up in his room. Seizing a chair, he ripped off a thick chair leg that ran up to make one side of the ladder back, hurled the rest of the chair at the men, and set about him with his long bludgeon. They were trying to reach him with their naked steel, as if Lan and the others were only obstacles in their way. It was a tight tangle, where all he could manage was to knock blades away from him, and his wilder swings threatened Lan and Loyal and Zareen as much as any of his 6 attackers. From the corner of his eye, he saw Moraine standing to one side, frustration on her face. They were all so mixed together that she could do nothing without endangering friend as well as foe. None of the knife wielders as much as glanced at her. She was not between them and Perrin. Panting, he managed to crack one of the ordinary-looking men across the head so hard that he heard bones splinter, and abruptly realized they were all down. It all seemed to him to have gone on for a quarter of an hour or more, but he saw that Billy was just halting, his large hands working as he stared at the 6 men sprawled dead on the floor. Billy had not even had time to reach the fight before it was done. Lan wore a face even grimmer than usual. He began searching the bodies thoroughly, but with a quickness that spoke of distaste. Loyal still had his chair raised to swing. He gave a start and set it down with an embarrassed grin. Moraine was staring at Perrin, and so was Zareen as she retrieved her knife from the chest of one of the dead men. That stench of wrongness was gone, as if it had died with them. Grey men, the Aes Sedai said softly, and after you.
So, everybody knows that when confronted with cheese, Grey Man died instantly.
So much cheese. So much cheese cutting in that scene.
You gotta roll it into a ball and then fling it at him.
So speaking of flinging balls at people, like so far, everything I've seen in Aes Sedai do like takes time to weave. And Moraine just jumps up and just launches a fireball.
Yeah.
Is that, did she see the trouble coming and start weaving that first? Or can she just...
That's just like, think of it as like, you know, that's like the quick punch in Mortal Kombat. It's not a combo, you know what I mean? It's just like a, you know, it was just a little fire, kind of like what Egwene did, but like with some actual force behind it in season one to the dude's chest that kind of died, you know, kind of just, you know, fizzled out or whatever. When she kind of shot the little fireball at Eamon Valda, think like that much of emotion, but a fireball that would actually blow someone off their feet and catch them on fire. Just like a little kind of like flex, like,
there's a scene like later on, Des, in some of the book, I want to say 11. And
Jesus Christ, that's like 2028 for me.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be a grandparent by then.
You'll be surprised, buddy.
I'll be at Cormac's graduation when I read that.
Yeah. We're going to push you hard.
So there's a scene. This is kind of a spoiler. So Luz Theron takes over Rand.
Oh.
And he... there's all these Trollocs, like literally 10,000 Trollocs coming at him. And
talking about the manor.
Yeah, the manor house. He starts weaving these like super intricate like traps and like what are called death gates. And
they're not really intricate. They're just, he takes a gateway and flips it on its side and puts it at ground level.
Yeah.
And just races it across like a water skipper. And it just, because Shadowspawn can't take it.
I don't think it does that, Justin. I think they're actually they're moving like this, but they're spinning. I think they're moving and spinning.
Oh, I thought they were flowing along the ground.
But then there's another one where it's like it looks like a red pillar, and then it makes this like real whining noise, and then it just like explodes and it kills everything. Oof. Like within like so. But then like so that's like all he so he's weaving all the different powers and he's doing it super fast. But Moraine basically can be like, oh shoot, just fire. Like, and that's, you can do fire because it's only one power. It's one thing. It just happens super fast. Maybe you need fire and air to make it move forward or something like that. But that's just something you can do quickly without even thinking about it, right?
Well, it depends on how adept you are too.
Right. So Luz Theron is doing all this stuff because he literally was probably hundreds of years of fighting wars.
Yeah.
You know, against the Shadow.
And powers that have been forgotten.
That's the main thing.
By people today.
Right. They were so much more advanced at that time.
Well, and using it's so cool because they like, I like how they use the powers in like a fourth dimension. Like it's a gateway, but I'm going to use this gateway as a weapon to like
absolutely
fuck people up. And that's
the way to be rad. Like innovative with the power and kind of think outside the box, use it different ways. You start to see that come into play in the later books. And it's really cool.
We just did the movie Parallel on Time Pop. And it's this mirror.
Never heard of
it. It's this mirror that you go through into an alternate dimension.
Okay.
And at the end, when they're battling and someone's coming back through the mirror, they turn it off.
Oh.
And so he just gets sliced in half. Like half of him is through the mirror and half of him isn't.
That's cool.
And they just shut the gate off and just the half of him just slides down the mirror.
Like 13 ghosts.
I was just going to say that. Like
13 ghosts. That was that cool epic thing.
That was gnarly.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, that's exactly what it would happen if you like got hit with a gateway. It would just slice you in half.
Yep, just zip.
Half of you is in this world and half of you is in that world.
Yeah, and what's cool
is none of you exists.
And you're all dead.
Yeah, and you're all dead. Well, you're the final death. It's all over.
So, God, there are so many. This series is just so amazing. There are so many named characters. And I know we've talked about it before. But like they're talking about Billy and it's like we probably never talk to Billy after we leave this in. But this fucking guy has a name for this for these four pages. It's fucking amazing.
Or what's even crazier is you'll get somebody like Lamgwin, who is the same. He does the same job.
Basically the same character in a different place.
Yeah, same place, same character, different place. But then he comes back several times out throughout the story. And you're like, oh, man, you got to keep bringing this poor guy back. What the heck,
like, I just want to go to a farm, like live with my wife, have some kids. Like,
nope. These fucking Tarveeran assholes are going to keep you in their goddamn web.
And the beginning of this clip, you get just a wonderful description of the city that we may never see. So that's cool.
So are they having, because these people aren't, you know, for lack of a better term, special, but they're all sharing the same dream. So are they in Tell and Riyadh?
Sort of. I don't know, Jeremy, you want to take this one?
So yeah, this is something that's kind of hinted on or hit. They talk about it in the very beginning. People who are strong channelers can actually,
like project.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Project their dreams onto other people. Oh. And it happens. But this only happens in like the first three books and then it just goes away. So don't get like too attached to it. It's going to.
That's not entirely true. There's a time when like Morden's just dreaming and him and Rand just kind of end up together. So it's a little different, but.
It's a little different because they have a connection, right? They have a connection.
These times it's just like people who are in close proximity to this person start having the same dreams as them.
So you're gonna see, Dez, that there's some certain things that'll happen in the very first probably three books, probably more than any other book, that are kind of, I think Robert Jordan had like an idea for certain things, and then he would be like, I can't fit that into the lore that I'm building, so I kind of abandoned it.
Yeah,
and so.
He stumbles upon a better power. He's like, I'm going to just focus on that. Let this one go away.
And it may be like in his canon, his head canon. It would be like, oh, this is all still going on. I just didn't write about it, you know? So anytime like the Forsaken are in a city, I think this happens again in Tyr. There's another Forsaken in Tyr. And then they go there. And then that's kind of how Moraine figures out like, oh, there's another Forsaken here probably because everybody's having nightmares and nobody can sleep. Everyone's, yeah. And for some reason, the Forsaken being around, and it's only like the guy Forsaken, because the lady Forsaken are all over the place and nobody's having issues with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, that's not explained. It's just that for some reason in Ilion and in Tyr, whenever she goes there, the people are like, I keep having these weird reoccurring dreams and they're nightmares. And seems like we're all having the same dream, but that sounds weird. That can't be real. That type of thing.
It's like in Star Wars, like because they did it in 1977, forever in the Star Wars universe, if you shoot a control panel, it will either open the door or close the door, whichever one you need at that time.
Opens it forever, it will close it forever. Yeah. Yes.
That is the dumbest thing ever, but it's canon because Lucas did it to save time in 1977.
I've watched some of the videos that people have put online of some of his commentaries. And he'll be like,
oh,
it's, but I love it because he's like,
oh,
well, I needed a character that would do this. And so we were like, oh, let's just throw a character in there. You're like, oh, really? That's how you do it, huh? You're just like, you needed a character to do a certain specific thing. So you're just threw him in there.
Movie magic, baby. That's just good writing.
I needed a hot guy with a nice chest. So I said, Harrison. Why don't you come over here and sit in this cockpit?
Loved you in American Graffiti. Let's do this.
Harrison, put the hammer down. Get down off the ladder. Come in here and read this part.
I love, what's his name? He was actually in a Star Wars movie eventually. And he's in, Justin will remember his name. He's in, he's the pirate in Dodgeball. And then he's in.
Oh, yes.
God damn it.
I am a leaf on the wind.
Whatever that poster is. I can't remember what the name of
his name is.
Firefly. But he would say, whenever they were like, hey, you know, in Firefly, when they're like, I need you to, you know, fly the ship, his answer was always click, click, click. Like, that was like, hey, all right, we need some action.
Click, click, click. Click.
And he does it. I think he does it in Star Wars as the robot. He sits in the cockpit and goes, click, click, click.
That's great. So, Alan Tudyk.
Thank you. Yes.
Alan Tudyk.
God damn it. I was going to lose my shit.
He's great. He is very good as just like a voice actor. Like, he's amazing. He can do like, he's great. You know, he's the king. Oh, who? He's the in Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh,
he's the bad guy in Wreck-It Ralph. And he has that weird, like, over the top voice. And so he does a really good job. But then he also, for Firefly, totally low key, mellow, you know. And then he's also in a hilarious movie, Tucker and Dale, Battle Evil.
I think you see that?
Yeah, he is hilarious. Great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Dude, have you seen Resident Alien? He's really fucking funny in that too.
I haven't seen that. Is it good?
Oh, you'll love that. It's really good. Dickhead. He has some moments with this kid in the show.
He was built for that. Like, that's one of those roles where it's like
side-splittingly funny.
If Alan Tudyk says no, your show's fucked.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, you were Steve the Pirate. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got that little small part in Deadpool where they're talking about using Huggies Natural Care wet wipes. They're sitting on the back of the truck drinking beers and shit.
It was him and Matt Damon,
get you
right?
A blow and go if you find yourself a hairdryer.
Has Justin ever told you the story of how he got in two truck accidents in a week? It was a week, right?
I've heard the short version of this, but
oh my god!
Please tell me.
So good.
No, that's a Patreon, buddy.
Yes, that is a story and a half.
Awesome. We will save that.
But like Jeremy was saying, you can parent senses it immediately, but when the Forsaken are kind of like in a city or in control of a city, it's like when Rand's around, you can start to realize if you know what to look for, you're like, what's going on? You know, people are angry. Everybody's on edge. There's weird shit happening. And so, you know, nobody's seen stuff like this for so long because the Forsaken haven't been around, but now they're escaping, they're being released. And you know, there's one in power in Ilion now. And you're really starting to see the kind of manifestation of his, you know.
Does Rand ever get
essence or whatever?
Get shunned for being a Forsaken because he fucks up towns just with his presence.
Yeah, a little bit.
So yeah, they don't look at him as a Forsaken, but they look at him as the guy who started the breaking of the world and being reborn.
Basically, yeah, they're like, you're the guy who broke the world. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you started everything by going and, you know, see with your 99 companions and sealing the Dark One in, but then getting the, you know, the backlash that tainted the sighting and then caused the break.
You're the reason I don't believe in snow and Aiel are afraid of water. Have you guys seen Knock at the Cabin?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good.
Is it typical Shyamalan-y?
Yeah, it's a brilliant, it's a good idea. Like all M. Night Shyamalan, it's like, it's not even really a big twist. Like they kind of lay it out. It's a twist because it's true. Like what he lays out at the beginning is happens, but it's like oh, this is interesting, and then it's like at the end and you're like, I guess that was just interesting. Like I'm glad I watched it, like I'm not mad.
Well, I mean, it was one of the better endings an M. Night Shyamalan movies had, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, he's kind of
did is because I said Mindhunter, is that what made you think of that movie?
No, we were talking about people who have great ideas and then just walk away.
Yeah,
like I feel like M. Night Shyamalan, like his short stories are like the greatest tales ever told. And then you fucking
it's kind of like Stephen King. His short stories were always like
dretch it out into a 2-hour movie. And it's like, I lost
M. Night Shyamalan. He has become like a dirty word in my house because of the Avatar, The Last Airbender movie that he put out.
Oh God.
When my kids were growing up, it was one of those shows that we could all sit down and watch, and we loved it. Like my wife, my daughter, my son, we were all different ages, obviously. And we still like, we could just sit down and watch the show, and they made it. It was beautiful and it was awesome. And then when we found out they were making a movie, we're like, that sounds awesome. And it looked great. And then he's
Shyamalan all over that.
Shyamalan.
It looked great, and it wasn't.
It was. Not.
I'm not a big Airbender fan. I didn't watch it, so I actually went to see the movie, and I was like, "Well, that's fine," because I had no
frame of reference.
Yeah,
sure.
I was like, no frame of reference. It's like, you know, it's like the Wheel of Time. Every book I read just makes the show that much worse.
Totally true. You're not wrong.
Why do you guys hate me so bad, dude?
But your son, your youngest son, he's how old?
Eight.
Perfect time. I mean, that's a great show. You can like you can both watch that together and be like super entertained. You both like it. You'll both come away going like, that was a great show.
You know what our family show is right now is The Flash. There's a lot. Like, I had no idea.
It's like 8 seasons, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's more than it's that, a lot. I think. Yeah. I, no joke, have to go ease the badger. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Justin. Finn, what's on your mind?
Oh, we got a lot, right?
Well, we've always got a lot.
Well, I was gonna say, dude, you guys get the vibe that, like, this city, Ilion's kind of like that city, Tortuga, where Jack Sparrow goes.
Yes, totally.
It's like everybody's, like, sailors and, like, swashbuckling and shit. Yes. And like, do you think that they have their own like fish related, like sea shanty related sayings, like Swan Sanche, like
absolutely,
fish guts and stuff, but like different because they're like, oh, fuck tier. We don't talk like that here.
Yeah.
Fish entrails, you know, like it's the same shit, but like different, you know, I don't know. I was just wondering about that.
Well, there's always the Ilion or fortune prick me, that type of thing.
Right, exactly.
That's just an Ilion saying. That's not a...
Yeah, nobody else says that.
Yeah, what are they? Are they just... Is that just kind of sea folk talk? Or is there a certain... Is that specific city?
I'm not sure.
It's the people from Ilion. They talk like that. They talk like pirates. Yarr.
I just get real like Caribbean vibes from that place. I don't know. I feel like there's good spicy food there. As usual, Perrin's just a boy standing in front of a girl making an ass out of himself. His mouth is open. And we also found out he's into fisting. So we learned a lot about Perrin in this chapter.
You know what I love, Justin?
What?
You just made a Notting Hill reference. And
huh?
Yes. You said Perrin is just a boy standing in front of a girl.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I thought I was like, they didn't talk about fisting in that movie. What are you talking about?
No. But we just watched that like probably a month ago. And I'm like,
it's a good movie, man.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
So I didn't get the idea that everyone from the Two Rivers is super prudish. Like they were partying and drinking and dancing and, you know, they weren't covered from ears.
That was one of the first things I said. I go, they really adulted that shit up because they were very innocent.
Okay, so that's why, because I was like, this is like where Perrin's like shitting his pants because this woman is like relaxed and maybe showing a little skin and singing about sexy things.
Yeah.
Like kind of took him back. So, okay, so that's.
Yeah, you can like almost see her nipple and he's like, good Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to pay for this.
They're almost like Amish.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say Amish. I would just say they're country. You're like, hey, you know what? You hold the door open for a lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go courting, you're going to have a chaperone.
Talk to the dad first.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say more Irish Catholic, just butt stuff only till you're married.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So they're into simmering in the Two Rivers.
No. Is that a Berkeley thing? Simmering. It's soaking.
Oh, that's a God Mormon damn it.
Simmering.
Oh, I love Justin. Justin's the only person that could correct me on that terrible thing I just said.
What were we talking about before that?
Your guess is as good as mine, Justin.
Hey, here, started here, out here.
Right there.
Gone. You know what? And about 5 shots deep.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast.
No.
Please rate us.
No.
Like us. Tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. We are getting ready for season 2. What do you think about it, everybody? If you're looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light, look no further. Listen to this. Talk to your friends. I know it's been hard, at least for me, it's been hard to hype this show because I didn't know when season 2 was coming out. And I'm like, hey, you should watch season 1. And then good luck, fuckface. But now that we got season 2 coming on, tell your friends, check out season 1, listen to our podcast. We have 3 episodes completely dedicated to every episode. That's besides all the other talking we do about the show. We have our Justin and I's original take, we have a commentary track, and we have a rewatch of every single episode. So if you want to get ready for season 2, if you want to get someone else ready for season 2, this is your one-stop shop. Justin, go.
And like Billy Joel says, we're always keeping the
faith.
Oh, I was going to let you finish your thoughts. I was going to let you ramble through your notes real quick.
No, we're going to do that too, because you're not getting away with this, because I got a couple questions that I need answered. Jeremy, at the end of this, where the fuck is Moraine going? She takes off without Lan. Where's she going? Is she going to try to figure out if there's a Forsaken in the tower? Is she going to go hunt dark hounds?
She's going to go fuck a pirate.
Like, maybe.
I think she's trying to.
Maybe Swan's around. I don't know.
I think she's trying to get ahead of Rand, and she's like, if you guys aren't keeping up, I'm going. Because this is my thing.
Well, no, because she's like taking off, and Lan's like, you're going to go without me. And I'm supposed to protect you. But she's like, it kind of seems like she's just going to go do something without him and come back.
Oh, no. Okay, no, exactly. She's going to find out if it actually is.
If Lord Bren is Samurai.
Is it Forsaken? She doesn't know who it is. So that's what she's going to do. Absolutely 100%.
The other thing is, being Aes Sedai and Warder, they can sense Shadowspawn, but they did not pick up on the fact that there were six gray men sitting at a table across an inn from them.
I don't know if they were sitting there. They probably came through the door. I think they came through the door.
But they still didn't notice them, like, proximity-wise.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a really good cheese.
They were rolling.
It's not chocolate.
Rolling cheese balls.
Yeah, I mean, you roll it into a ball, it tastes really good. I mean, I don't know if you guys like cheese, but.
I mean, it's not like they've washed their hands in years. You get some of that land on that cheese. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You give a gray man cheese, straight, you're dead.
I mean, goat cheese kind of smells like a gray man. And I don't know if you guys know that. Depending on what type of
goat cheese is delicious, bro.
I'm not saying it. Listen, it's delicious. Not the best smelling.
There you go.
Jeremy's trying to tell us he's got a foot fetish.
I'm saying I love cheese. Let me put it this way. My cholesterol since I was like 16 has been over 300 because I love cheese so much.
Seriously?
Oh, yes. Legit.
Are you? Have you been on statins since 24?
No, because you know what is my what's the good cholesterol?
Yeah, LDL I think is the good stuff.
So that is super high too.
Oh, okay.
So it's like it balances everything out.
Yeah, totally.
It's genetic. It's just but also I eat a ton of cheese.
Thanks, Grandpa Joe.
On that note, I just want to finish with I want everyone out there to know that I can make Jeremy blush.
And he has.
Short trip.
So much. And I will also say, you know, you should definitely not eat the yellow snow Sedai, but definitely, most definitely, never eat the brown snow Sedai. It's the worst.
But eat the yellow cheese.
Yeah, but absolutely eat the yellow cheese.
May you always find water and shade, Wetlanda. Beepity beep, 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 beep. Oh, fuck. He doesn't beep out fuck. What's he beeping out?
That's fucking beep and motherfucking beep. Fuckity fuck beep. Like, what's he beeping?
I think he put the beep in the wrong place. I don't know what's fucking happening right now.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.